So today we are joined by the RUSU officers to celebrate Women's History Month, and we're going to be talking about women in leadership roles. So firstly, if I could just go around the room and ask you all your name and your role, great.
So I'm Gemma and I'm the RUSU Welfare Officer.
I'm Daisy, I'm the RUSU Activities Officer.
I'm Fifi, I'm the RUSU Education Officer.
And I'm Molly, I'm the RUSU President.
Perfect. So one of the first questions we were asking is, can you talk us through your approach to leadership? So what would you guys do in leadership situations?
I think we have very different
approaches. Yeah.
I still don't fully see myself as a leader, even though I should. Like, I see, like, Molly as a leader.
Okay.
That's because I'm loud, though. Yeah. Like, I'll just, like, bulldoze through. And I've got better. Like, I think the most important part is making everyone feel welcome and picking out the voices in the room that are quieter, because that doesn't mean that they don't have something to say. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably like how I've grown as a leader this year.
I think for me, it vastly depends on how comfortable I am with what I'm leading. So if I'm leading like a cricket or doing something that I know I'm good at and I know I'm confident in it, then I don't find leadership hard at all. And I can like manage like different types of people and who needs like a more firm hand and who needs more encouragement. I find it's much more difficult to have that leadership style if you're not comfortable in it yourself. But yeah, that's the general idea.
Mm-hmm. I think it is finding like a rapport with the people you're leading and making them making sure they feel comfortable coming to you and being able to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Fifi, anything to add?
I'm more used to leading with small children, so I have to find the right
slightly
tone
difficult.
Sometimes. People like children.
Cool. This might be a slightly difficult question to ask because you all are at a students' union, but do you feel enough has been done to advance women in the workplace? It's slightly different because you obviously work in an area that does do a lot to advance women, but would you say from stories from, you know, family, friends or whatever, that you think enough has been done?
I think it's really hard to do as much as we want to because everyone has different experiences, so I can only empathise with how you three feel about how you should be treated in the workplace, and those levels of where you want things to be are all quite different. I feel like as a students' union, it's in our organisational values to be inclusive and diverse, and I do think for the most part we meet that quite well, but that's because we have the pressure of 20,000 students constantly looking at us, so our standards have to be higher and the pressure is on more because we're so front-facing.
Yeah. You're definitely right about students' unions being kind of ahead of the sector or different from the sector, like as in the workplace generally. Because like we had an all-female officer team before most other students' unions and it was kind of a massive deal.
Yeah.
And obviously now loads of students' unions we go to have all-female officer teams, and the kind of students' unions were a bit ahead of the pack in that. So you're right that it is a kind of different environment, and I think I'm definitely going to find it weird if I go from this into a male-dominated work environment, or even not necessarily a male-dominated one, but one that's not so explicit about inclusivity. I think I'm going to find that very strange.
I think we're so lucky with that on our campus as well, because we are so, we have such a strong sense of community that everyone, I hope, feels
welcome. Oh, that's cool. I like that. I like that a lot. This is, again, slightly difficult to answer because you've only been in sort of career roles for a year, but I would say maybe just in general, what has been the most significant barrier, either to, you know, the fact that you're a woman or any other barriers that you've faced, what would you say?
I feel like sometimes you have, like, people can approach it, because the last president was male, but like sometimes people approach you with like a boysy attitude, and I am not like that.
Yeah.
Like, I do not respond to that, which is fine, because everyone has different learning styles. So I think people adapting to me having a different style of how I am has probably taken a little bit of time. Now I think I've always felt comfortable, people have always made me feel welcome. Yeah. But I think I probably noticed that a little bit when I started the job.
Okay.
Yeah. I think for me, it's less, the barriers have been way less in this job than in, sorry to talk about cricket all the time, but
it's true,
no change there. That's just what I do. But in sport, because I think in sport, but also in other areas of the workplace, people confuse the lack of opportunity that women have had with a lack of ability that women have.
Mm-hmm.
So because women's sport has had less funding, the women have to work full time as well as trying to train a few times a week. Sometimes they are under societal pressure to have a family while training. Mm-hmm. Like, because of the opportunity that's not been afforded to them, people confuse that with an innate inability to do the sport.
Yeah.
And I think not in our jobs, but in other workplaces, sometimes if women haven't been given the opportunities to be leaders, for example, people confuse that with women just not actually being able to be leaders.
Yeah. And I think I was thinking about it earlier, because obviously, as an activities officer, a lot of the presidents of societies are men. So it could be that sort of attitude there as well. It's like, oh, I have to now listen to a female leader in that way. So do you think you've had any barriers in that kind of way?
I think I was really surprised, like pleasantly surprised, because I was thinking about whether or not I was going to run a This Girl Can campaign this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm still going to. But I was like, right, starting point, let me look at how many women are in sport at Reading. And it's 51% of the sports members are female. And I presumed that it would be lower.
Yeah.
So I think like that kind of means two things. It means that things in sport anyway are better than I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that the women aren't getting the visibility even amongst the structures that they exist in.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know the statistics actually about how many presidents are male and female, but I think sometimes even the female ones, when they are there, are sometimes overlooked.
Okay, interesting. So this is one that I'm quite interested in. What encourages you or motivates you when you face a challenge?
You can go first, Gemma. Go on.
I think it is the other women in my team.
Aww.
Love that.
Not Zayn.
And just seeing how they deal with challenges is really inspiring.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Yeah, it's so cheesy, but yeah, like we definitely all deal with it in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try that way.
Yeah.
Rather than just doing my normal thing.
Yeah, that kind of support from your peers.
Yeah, or like even just seeing how other people do things and being like, oh, I could respond like that. That had never occurred to me.
Fifi?
I think some of the female leadership that we see at the university as well is amazing.
Yeah,
they're such
inspiring
people who work so hard to support students and us with both our campaigns and just with personal support as well. It's amazing what they offer.
That is very true. Molly?
I'm like really competitive.
Okay.
I'm really like quite results driven. So to get like to the end of the goal, to like hit that, like that's really satisfying.
It's a good feeling.
That like motivates me.
Oh, I like
that. But then like helping the others to do it as well, like it, like teamwork has been emphasised so much this year, particularly because we are flat structure and the uni don't always see that.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to help everyone achieve their goals makes you stronger than you going off and finishing your manifesto.
Yeah.
And I think I was just going to say that a massive thing about coming up against challenges when it comes to like being female in the workplace or anything else that people discriminate you against, I think the most important thing I've learned in this job is that if people are rude to you or if people don't respect you, that's their problem.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong. And sometimes, like, you've got to take criticism and you might be doing something in the wrong way, but most of the time that's a problem with their attitude and the things that they've seen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you even have to change what you're doing.
Yeah. I think something that I've noticed, that obviously all the offices this year have been like incredible and you've all sort of made really, really good points. So I was thinking about it earlier and I was thinking maybe something that motivates them is the idea of maybe leaving a legacy of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you've all hit really important marks for this university that has never been done before. And it's all from you five, Zayd included, have all had amazing, amazing things happen. And I was thinking, oh, maybe it's that legacy sort of momentum that kind of motivates them. Would you say that's true in any way, that you want to sort of leave a legacy?
We talk about that a lot, like from like when we started training.
We were told that in
our
first meeting.
Really?
Because we're only here for a year.
That was something that made a massive impact on us when we were setting our goals for the year.
Yeah.
We really wanted to focus on things that were going to make a difference and weren't just going to be transient things that would be gone next year, would get forgotten. We really wanted to make, not so we get remembered,
but
to make positive
changes
that will keep on happening at the uni.
Yeah, I think it's not something that personally motivates me, but it does motivate me in a professional context. Like, I make decisions based on what's going to be long lasting, but the idea of kind of leaving something behind in terms of like people remembering what I did. Yeah. I'm not personally motivated by that. I'm not competitive, like in that kind of thing. So, but it, professionally, when making decisions, legacy is really important.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. So this one I really like. I really love hearing this question. Is there anyone who inspires you and why? That's my favourite question ever.
I think my grandma.
You stole my answer.
Just because she like is so positive all the time, and like she is 90 years old, and last time when I went to pool, she was like, "Gemma, we're going in the sea."
Amazing.
And like she's just there, like even though she's old, like she still wants to do things all the time, and is just really motivated by life, and like, yeah.
I love that. That's so nice. Daisy, what are you?
I'm really struggling to think of someone that's not my nan.
I know, literally.
We love our nans.
Genuinely, my normal answer is my nan, because she is gay and is also a woman who is 70 years old.
Oh, amazing.
And so she had children in the 60s.
Okay.
And then, because there was no other option, and then came out to her husband the day after the fourth one had left home.
Oh, wow.
Because she wanted to keep the family together. Yeah. And then be true to herself.
Wow, what an amazing
story. Like, it was such an amicable divorce. My granddad was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really do anything about that. So,
what an amazing story.
So, yeah, so she, it was the motivation that she had to keep her family together, aside from any personal struggle, like that is something that's just completely monumental to me. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. But more importantly, like the activism that she had throughout her whole life for other people as well, like, on picket lines her whole life, and representing people, not even just her own groups of people, but just people that needed it, in a time when absolutely no one was listening to her.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a cool story.
That's so cool. I don't want to follow next.
Phoebe, who inspires you and why?
I think the team in this room. The Rusu team, not just these three, Zayd as well, and everyone at Rusu, work so hard every day to make such a difference, and they're also such good friends outside of work. So
yeah, we always hang out outside of work.
You know, like hats off to Zayd. Like we always make a joke of like it's Zayd and his wife. He has to deal with like four sometimes very emotional human beings like coming out he is such an advocate for like female leadership and empowerment that he is such an asset to the team. Like,
the past officers last year were saying sometimes in meetings someone would ask a question to the female officers, but they would look at the male officers. So they would, if they were asking a question to one of them, they'd speak to the male officer, and they weren't necessarily doing that on purpose. It was kind of just their instinct.
Yeah.
And they never really know what to do.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not sure if they just experienced that this year, but it is so important to have men who feel the same as we do about women in leadership.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
If all of the women in the world believe in female empowerment, you need everyone to be on the same page.
For sure. Wow, that's really interesting.
Sorry.
I'm not going to use my nan because you two have stolen it. It sounds a bit odd, but one of our colleague child came in the other day, her daughter. She was incredibly confident and inspiring, and I really like that. Like, I love looking to like younger women and children and seeing like how confident they are, and how, you know, I guess as part of it's like childhood innocence that they don't necessarily notice like things like sexism in the workplace, but they're just happy to like smash on through and be brave and be confident. And I love looking back and like seeing that these women are going to grow up to be such inspirational leaders, and they don't even know it yet. I love looking back and seeing that.
That's actually a perfect segue to the next question, which is, what advice would you give to the next generation of female leaders?
I think for me, the thing that helped me was having constantly grown up in an environment where I was the only girl. I literally can't explain this without saying cricket again, but, but like if being a girl on a boys' sports team or whatever it is, being the only woman in any situation, although it's scary at first, like you kind of, I kind of forget now that I'm meant to in quotation marks, or like that other people are thinking that I would feel intimidated in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I go into a meeting where it's all men and me, I'd walk out and not even have thought about that,
because yeah.
you're used to it. So basically it's that, like, don't be scared of experiences where you are the minority early on, mm-hmm. because it only makes it easier going forward, basically, I think.
Okay.
I think so much has happened and progressed in even the last 10 years in terms of equality.
For sure.
But I think that there's always more that can be done. Mm-hmm. Never stop fighting.
Yes.
Keep pushing.
Yeah.
Why do you make me follow up? Inspirational.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, don't compare yourself, like, not to just men, but, like, don't compare yourself to anyone.
Mm.
Like, the reason that we're in these roles is far beyond, like, popularity contest, mm. or really what was in our manifestos. Like, it's your personality that drives you on through. So don't spend time, like, comparing yourself to the people mm. that you think that society, like, wants you to be.
Mm.
Particularly when it comes to, like, language. Like, I have to say it, the word that I hate, like, most in the world is bossy.
Yeah.
Because bossy is a female word.
Yeah.
Like, you never hear
not
a
once.
Man
not
being
once.
Called bossy.
Mm-hmm.
So do not compare yourself, and don't, like, when you get given words like that and you're described in that way, don't take it, because what someone might see as bossy, actually you're just empowered
mm-hmm.
and you're confident
mm-hmm.
and you're brave. So don't think, like, when people bring you down, don't let them, like, carry on through.
When men are bossy, they're confident.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
He's taking power,
they're
he's delegating tasks.
Like,
yeah. But for women, they're seen as bossy, which
and
needs
I hate
to change.
It. I hate that
awful.
Word, ban that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gemma, what would you say?
I'm trying to think. Again, like, don't compare yourself, because I remember when I was running for the role, I genuinely did not believe in myself at
mm-hmm.
all. Like, I was like, there's no way I'm going to win, because I've always been quite an introvert and, like, a quiet person.
Yeah.
And then I remember in my speech, and I was like, I can't remember what I said.
I can remember it was like, you made me cry. You said, like, I hope I've proven that you don't have to speak the loudest in order for your voice to be
yeah.
heard, or something like that. I didn't cry when I won, I cried when Gemma won.
And just that, like, you can be, like, a thinker and, like, someone that takes things in.
Yeah.
And, like, that's okay too, and you can still be a leader.
That's great. This is an interesting question that's just popped into my head. What would you say to men in the workplace? What would you say needs to change for men? What do we need to do that we're not doing?
That's a really good question.
Be like Zaid.
Be like Zaid. I think, you know, if you're... It's pretty simple. It's obviously easier said than done, but just listen to what people are saying.
Yeah.
So if there is a woman in a room with a... in a highly male-dominated workplace, it's kind of not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're there to kind of make a plan for something or have a board meeting or whatever, it's just listen to what she says. And that sounds so obvious that it doesn't sound like a good tip, but it does need to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I remember learning about a few studies in psychology where in board meetings or conferences afterwards, people were asked, how many women do you think were in the room, or what percentage of the time was a woman speaking? And everyone, men and women, rated... thought that women spoke more than they did,
okay.
or thought that there were more women than they did, because even one woman in the room speaking 5% of the time had, like, blown up in their minds, because they were so not used to it.
Okay.
So I would just kind of, like, ease into and be comfortable with women in male-dominated situations, listen to what they say, and kind of just treat them like anyone else, I would say.
That's really...
Yeah,
be like Zaid. Be like Zaid. That is perfect. Thank you very much for coming today, ladies. This has been amazing, and I've learned so much, and it's so inspirational. If you'd like to follow on for more, we've got a couple of blogs coming out on the Careers platform and on the Student Life platform, and we've got a big one coming out with Parveen, who is the Pro Vice Chancellor, and we're very excited about that. But thank you all very much for coming today.
Thank you.